Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray, on a Monday morning. A Monday morning where we're shaking our heads. Tough Ryder loss on the weekend. You know, I mean, it got interesting right at the end of the game, but many will point out that we had a whole game to prevent it from being that close. Edmonton Elks beat the Riders 27-25. So, we look at the green and white prognostication list. Only four people picked Edmonton to win this game. We do a total point, right? So we add up the total points. So we know Edmonton beat Saskatchewan by a score of 27-25. So the total was 52. The closest combined score, well, we had two within 2 points. We had Carla and Saskatoon at 50. And then we had Tim and Saskatoon at 54. So both were 2 points away. However, Tim and Saskatoon's score, 28-26. He was literally off by 1 point on each score. So that ended up being the tiebreaker. Congratulations to Tim in Saskatoon. His combined score of 54 and guessing 28-26 makes him this week's green and white prognostication winner. He has his name entered for the end of the season cash jackpot, and we will play it again on Friday. The Riders in action Friday, actually, against Ottawa. Hoping we see a better outcome there. Okay, we just had a conversation with Stephen Seiferling, who is a labor lawyer out of Saskatoon, and we were talking about what's going on and just trying to get some sort of perspective about the ability that the federal government has to make these changes to Canada Post free of any anger, frustration, strike action, grievances, court injunctions being filed by the union. And of course, we know that that happened instantly. The union announced almost instantly after these changes were announced by the federal government, things like getting rid of home delivery over the next decade, going to mailboxes, talking about changing the frequency of mail delivery, talking about maybe getting rid of some post offices in Canada. The union representing the postal workers, which is the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, or CUPW, made the announcement they were going back on full strike. And of course, that was going on late last week and is still going on this morning. I'm happy to say we've connected with local president of CUPW Local 824 out of Saskatoon, Bram Enslin, who we have had on this program before. Bram, thank you so much for giving us the time for a chat this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate the time.
So maybe just start off, if you can, Bram, by giving us the biggest concerns of this recent announcement, the recent restructuring being contemplated by the federal government.
Yeah, so we're obviously extremely dismayed by the announcement made by Minister Lightbound the other day on restructuring, on giving the order to Canada Post to restructure its delivery model, which is going to lead right away to job losses. And so basically the announcement that they made was that they're going to be converting 4 million addresses to community mailboxes and take them away from door-to-door delivery. And obviously they had said that they're going to remove the moratorium on post office closures. And so what that means is not only job losses, it means a reduction of community services and the things that people can access in their communities. And so the biggest problem here, obviously, is that we have not been able to get them to sit down meaningfully and to bargain in any type of good faith since the beginning of our dispute. And changes like this, of this nature, should have gone through a mandate review or something that the public is involved with, saying, and discussing what it is that they want to see to their post office. But instead, the minister just laid down an announcement that nobody really expected. Probably could have seen it coming, but nobody expected him to make an announcement like that without having gone through the traditional channels. And it's, again, another government intervention of the worst kind, unfortunately.
Do you think this change or these changes of this magnitude could actually be handled at the bargaining table? That seems like a bit of a daunting task to try and handle in a negotiation.
Well, when they're talking about things like door-to-door delivery, these are things that affect the public. So there's two things during the Industrial Inquiry Commission that went on that we, of course, was another form of government intervention that we did not agree with. That these changes would have to be made in a public mandate review. And usually, and so what they were trying to do in that inquiry report is they had said that there's two things that are getting in the way. One of them is collective bargaining, the collective agreement, and the other are the moratoriums that are contained within the mandate and the Canada Post Act. So they made it clear that these are two things that are getting in the way. Some of the things are directly related to collective bargaining, and other things are not directly related to collective bargaining. Some of the things we wanted to get into the agreement, of course, will be sidestepped with this announcement. One of the main things we're looking for in our collective agreement was better job security, and unfortunately, this just leads to job losses. And I just want to highlight, it's not just jobs that are lost, it's services to the communities that become that will vanish because of it, especially when you're talking about post office closures. There are things within the collective agreement that maintain the moratorium on those closures, but they're looking to get rid of that completely. And so now this has delayed them coming back to us with an offer that they promised last week, and they said now we've got 45 days to come up with a new plan. So they've, of course, not given us that offer despite having promised to do so.
Bram Enslin is my guest, who is the local president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Local 824, so out of Saskatoon. Is there a recognition, Bram, that something needs to change? Does the union recognize, given the fact that, I don't know what the number is, there's some people will say 10 million a day, but there's been a lot of lost revenue and a need clearly for a business model change. Does the union recognize that?
100%. The union has come to the table with these things in mind. Of course, the union brings propositions that are going to keep meaningful jobs and keep meaningful services within the community. There's an obvious need for change, but the reason that we're here is not because of, say, a lack of letter mail, which is what I think they'd like to sort of put out there. Canada Post used to have a 60% market share at the beginning of the pandemic, and that's gone down to 20%. And a lot of the reason why we're seeing the losses that we're seeing is because of the management style from Doug Ettinger and the CEO, or who is the CEO of Canada Post. In the investments that he's made and the decisions that he's made has led to this business tanking. And so, of course, we're left here saying, well, if we're trying to present new ideas, and, you know, the union has long brought forth plans like delivering community power. I talked a little bit about that the last time. That's a campaign that the union's brought forward to bring in tons of revenue to the corporation, but they don't seem to be looking towards ideas for actually fixing services to be able to expand and enhance the services that are in the communities, things that are not only going to be revenue neutral, but will bring extreme amounts of revenue in and can counter all the losses. And so we counter the argument, and we totally disagree with the idea that this is because of a lack of letter mail. We know that there is a parcel market that could have been, sort of cornered, but unfortunately they let that slip. So it's either terrible management and letting things happen, or else it's done on purpose. And we're worried, because we've seen this coming, we're worried that this has been a plan from the corporation, and it seems that the government is working in collusion with the corporation to divert money away from Canada Post to let it fail and have people lose faith in their public service.
Bram, can you just remind us, I know the last time we had you on, and this was before Christmas, you talked about a couple of the proposals that the Canadian Union of Postal Workers brought forward to bring revenue in. Can you just recap those quickly for us?
Absolutely. So the Delivering Community Power platform came at sort of on the heels of the first time we were going to lose the door-to-door delivery, and that got canceled. And of course, when we were, doing that, we put forward a lot of new ideas. And the first one was postal banking. This is something that's done in other countries to a tune of $1 billion or €1 billion, depending on the country that we're talking about, whether it's Switzerland, Italy, and some of these places that actually have postal banking. This is something that can bring in billions of dollars of revenue every year. And of course, it's not just about revenue, it's about the communities. So some of the other tenets and some of the other pillars are things like elder check-ins, creating EV charging stations, and things that can bring in revenue, but also bring services to the communities. Because most communities, especially when you're talking rural and remote communities, they still have their post office. They may have lost things like their bank. They may have lost things like their grocery store. So they have to leave their community in order to get it. And so these things are designed not only to create good jobs, but also to create robust services so that we don't also have to lose our post office in the communities. We've long been worried about this narrative that's been coming since, I'd say, the 2010s, that they're going to come after the post office, come after these rural communities. So again, these are programs that are designed to bring in tons of revenue. They work across the world, but because there's a large lobby here against it, we're not seeing any movement, and Canada Post is not moving towards any of those solutions. Unfortunately, they're shutting down those ideas and only looking to cuts and austerity, which is why we're raising the flag and saying we've got to do something about this. I'm not sure if you recall, it was a couple months back, there was a hands-off my post office campaign that we ran because we were trying to alert the public that I'm not sure that everyone's aware that they're moving to gut the post office. If they're not looking to gut it, they're looking to privatize it. And this is unfortunately what we're seeing here. So that's what our Delivering Community Power campaign is to say. It's not true that there are not options going forward. We do recognize the urgency. We want to move the company into the next century and not be focused so highly on letter mail, but also parcels, which are a highly competitive market that we can actually expand outside of that and bring new ideas to the post office.
Brahm Enslin is my guest, Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Does it make sense, though, Brahm, to try and forge ahead with new pieces of business models, if you will, when the old one is still, as it's been described, hemorrhaging? Is there should it not be shored up first what is being done prior to trying to step into that model, or do you feel like it should happen simultaneously?
Well, there can be a simultaneous action, but we do believe that something needs to be addressed. And when we're talking about the hemorrhaging, that's not because of the workers, that's not because of the community, that's because of decisions made by Doug Ettinger and by Canada Post. And so, yes, there is something that needs to be addressed, but we've been long talking about this, like I said, since 2015, 2016, when they were not hemorrhaging money. So, unfortunately, we've had a proactive view on this right from the beginning, but it really seems like the loss has come from a deliberate attempt to denigrate this public service. And, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it's to compete with companies like Amazon and these large international corporations that usually employ gig work. You know, they provide, you know, services for higher prices, but for less pay to their employees. And in some cases, they're not even employees. So yes, there is something that has to happen, but we believe the investments from Doug Ettinger and from the Canada Post Board of Directors is what's put us here. They continue to make extreme bonuses every year. As a matter of fact, they're emboldened to keep doing what they're doing. And we believe Canada, the people of Canada who own this post office, who have a stake in this post office, need to say enough with these investments, enough with, you know, classifying these investments as losses, and we need to move towards. And I agree, now that we've gotten to a place where we're so-called hemorrhaging money, of course, it's tougher to, invent new ideas or to bring new ideas to the table. But we should have done this yesterday. And the sooner we do it, the more we can move into profitability and less about cutting services, cutting jobs, and taking away the services that keep people in their homes for longer.
If, you know, it's always tough to play what if games, but before I let you go, Brahm, we're going to play one. If management at Canada Post had made some of the cuts, had been more prudent with the list of things that you just hammered out there, is there anything in this proposal that makes sense to you? I mean, I can understand why you're frustrated on behalf of your members, but has home delivery to 4 million Canadians outlived its shelf life? Should we be going to less frequent weekly mail delivery? Does any of this make sense?
I mean, well, see, I don't think so. I don't think we need to go there. When we talk to our customers, they absolutely love the door-to-door delivery. They love the connection that they have with their postal worker. These are things that you get out of a public service. And, you know, whether people can understand it or not, this is the things that allow people to stay in their homes longer. If a senior citizen or somebody with mobility issues has to go to their community mailbox, it just makes it harder for them to do so. And you no longer have a connection with your postal worker. And that keeps the ability. That's why we instituted things like, or you came up with ideas like senior check-ins, because this is something that we do every day when we're in the communities and we notice that something, the door is ajar or the mail is piling up. We have the ability to make sure that because we have that connection with them, we can make sure that they're okay. And that's something that's going to be lost when we sort of look at it by the numbers. So for me, I mean, my mind, I'm always in favor of a robust public service, something that can be done to help all communities. And so for that reason, it does not make sense to me, because we're simply looking at cutting costs for cost's sake. And we know Minister Lightbound was sort of tasked to come up with ways to reduce costs in the public service in his role, and he's done exactly that. And he's looking at it from the numbers. And so that's what does not make sense to me. What does make sense to me is that something should be done. But I think we can look at the pay to the CEOs, the amount of VPs, the amount of bonuses that go out before we start talking about losing the services to the actual communities, people that need the service to run, the way that it does.
Brom, I think we'll leave it there, but something tells me you and I will chat again.
I'd be happy to. Anytime, Evan. Thank you for this.
Brom Enslin, thanks so much for coming on to the program. Canadian Union of Postal Workers. He's the local president for Local 824, which is Saskatoon. And we'll take a break and come back, check out some of your comments on the text line here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.